Hey, Jen, I got a knock-knock joke for you.
Go ahead.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Why?
Why who?
Why do people buy? My amazing ebook is available right now, and even better, it's completely free. Figuring out why people buy is 1,000 times more powerful than knowing how to sell. And this ebook will give you the insight that will allow you to uncover the genuine buying motive of your customer every single time.
Plus, and this is no joke, you don't have to knock down any doors to buy it. It's free. And the link is in the show notes.
Hey, everybody. It is Motivation Monday. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. This is Sell or Die. And
I'm Jen Gluckow.
That's a big end. What's your point, Jen?
What's up, everyone? Well, usually you say, and I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling.
Oh, I didn't
do
any.
And the Sales Manifesto.
Right.
And
one day we'll get this
that,
right,
you know?
I promise
so,
you, one day.
We need to do it more often than just Monday. I wrote the Sales Manifesto. Woo-woo. Because there's no book in here.
Yeah, we
lost the book. I probably gave it away.
Oh, man.
I'm always giving books away. I love giving books away. I learned it from Charlie Tremendous Jones. The more you give away, the more you get.
I like it.
He gave away thousands of books every year. Thousands.
Wow.
And he referred to them as sex books. Even he'd go.
Oh, man. That was a great backup audio. Yeah. Thanks. All right. So, guys, welcome. This is Sell or Die, the world's premier sales and personal development podcast on the planet. And this is Motivation Monday. We are here to help you kick your own butt.
Live on Facebook.
That's
We're live on Facebook and other places, but I don't know where else live. But
we have so many friends here right now. Steve, Alex, Wes, Anthony, Sean, Chris. Oh, man, I freaking love this. Can you guys share this out with your peeps, please? Like, help us get this, you know, heard with more people.
Today, what are we going to talk about? I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about.
All right, tell us, Jeffrey.
We're going to talk about taking your thoughts from Q1 to day one.
Oh, man.
And being hungry versus being sales hungry. But first, let's take a couple of comments and questions from Facebook.
Let's do it.
Because I'm motivated to do this. I want to kick somebody's butt with a dumb statement or a smart question.
Oh,
that's right.
Boy.
On every Motivation Monday here on Facebook Live, we like to take one question that's on our Sell or Die Hards official Facebook page. So if you haven't joined that, do that today so that you can submit your question. And also on these Motivation Monday Lives, feel free to put your question in right now, your comment, your ideas, because we want to hear from you.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to take that question, but I just noticed that the great Ken Walls has just joined us, and we are drinking out of his mugs.
Celebration.
Well, they're our mugs that he got
us. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Ken.
And for I even held up the...
Cheers.
Oh, he's leaving you hanging.
Cheers.
There we go.
Cheers. And we have the cards, too, the thank you cards. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very well done.
We love them.
Very well done.
We love them. So, hey, Ken, thank you.
So, Ken Walls at kenwalls.com.
Well, actually, Ken, you can pop in where your wow
We'll throw it in the we'll throw the wow thing in there, because Ken is now doing the wow factor.
Yeah, he is the wow factor.
Yeah.
He is wow.
Mr. Wow. Hard to be wow when you're from Ohio, but he's doing the best he can.
No, he is. He is. And hey, Alex just posted in there the free Sell or Die Hards official Facebook group. So make sure you join. Now we're going to take a question from the group. So over
Go
to
for
Doug.
It.
All right. This week's question comes from James. And James wants to know, are there any of my salespeople out there that write blogs? More specifically, blog writers out there that before they started writing absolutely hated the idea of writing. What was the catalyst that got you excited about blog writing?
Well, for me personally, I don't write for a blog. I write to write. I write ideas, and then wherever they're appropriate, I post them. So it might go to LinkedIn. It might be a tweet. It might be something that I have an idea, like a statement about my Instagram photo that I'm going to post. But whatever it is, writing leads to wealth. And if you write for your blog, that's great. Then what do you do with it? Why won't you take your blog and post that one paragraph or five paragraphs and put it in your LinkedIn to all your post it up on LinkedIn. So it's writing is universally postable if it's good.
So yeah, and I'd want to know, James, what do you hate about writing? Like, is it, are you scared or like what's holding you back?
Because criticism.
You need to uncover that. And maybe a good first place to start would be to be by interviewing. I think he's doing this, right? There was like a second part where he's doing this for his company, right?
Yeah, so he's been hired on as a business development manager for a renewable energy consulting company. And historically, they've survived through referrals. They haven't done much in the way of outside marketing or building an online presence. So he stepped into this role. He sees the gap. There needs to be blogging. There needs to be writing. But it sounds like, yeah, he may have not been or maybe hated the idea of writing in the past.
So why don't you take some of your best customers and interview them for the blog, put them in the spotlight, and then while you're creating content, which is really your main objective is to create content, you're not having to write things from scratch because you're getting to use their words, and that should help you get started. Plus, it should help you form the foundation for more views, because if you spotlight someone, they're going to want to share it with everyone they know.
I think there's also, if you look on the interstate highways, there's phones every so often, and those phones are all solar powered. And you might want to contact the highway department or the DOJ, whatever they call them, and a DOT.
DOT.
DOT is another.
Yep.
DOJ is another curse word. DOT, and find out what the funniest things were. And oh my God.
I love it.
We're over sound effect here, but I must say.
I think we're under sound effect.
I love it.
I knew it was one or the other. But I guarantee you there's some funny stuff that happened on the, you know. Emergency
stuff?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the idea that you guys are hitting on is that the blogging that you do for either your personal brand or your business brand should be focused on giving value to customers as opposed to advertising whatever it is you have to sell.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, please don't write a blog advertisement about a blog article about your latest product. That's not a blog article.
And by the way, this guy is from Canada, so you should always have a picture of the Stanley Cup near you.
Yeah.
Because you haven't seen one in 30 years.
Yeah. But also, I'm going to challenge yourself. If you hate writing or the idea of writing.
Or Tim Hortons coffee, which is.
so watered down. then maybe. Making a blog isn't the best use of your time because it's not your zone of genius. And what you need to figure out is what are some other ways you can attract people through content marketing? It may be making video blogs. Maybe. It may be making a podcast. There are so many other things you can do that don't have to include writing if that's like one of your, you know, something you hate.
And I know, Jeffrey, you're a big proponent of voice to text. So some people, they hate writing, but they love to talk. They love to communicate. So maybe it's the act of writing that's getting in the way.
And you may get writer's block, but you will never get talker's block.
I love that. So hey to Jay, Brian, Leah.
No sound effect for that?
Huh? Oh, see, first there's over sound effects, and now he's asking for sound effects. By the way, thank you, James, for that great question.
Yeah.
Join the Seller Diehards official Facebook page today so that you can have your question featured on the show.
Yes, for sure. Now, I just want to make sure we're saying hey to everybody here. Jay, Brian, Leah,
whoa.
Boris, Tim. This is freaking
Boris,
awesome.
I love Boris.
This is
Boris
so great.
Hasn't been on the
that
show?
Tim was, by the way, that Tim was Tim Horton. He's come to the show. He's tired of his name being besmirched.
Tim wants to know if we're riffing on Canadians today.
We are
he's
not
from Ontario.
No, we don't have. Oh, well, you
maybe it is. Wait, maybe it is.
Not
Tim Horton.
not on Canadians, just on Tim Horton's coffee.
I wish I could tell you this story about Triumph, the insult comic dog, but it would be bad.
What? All right, so is it time for our topic?
Yes.
All right.
The main topic.
The main topic of the day, well, there's several things we want to talk about, but remember when I first said you're thinking about Q1 and now it's two-thirds into the quarter and you're still thinking about it?
So, yeah, like at the beginning of the year, we started talking about Q1 goals. We started talking about annual goals and how you're going to achieve those. And now that it's March, you're probably thinking, oh, shit. Quarter one is two-thirds done. How am I going to make my quota? What else do I need to do to make my quota? Especially if you're behind. You're thinking about how to catch up in this last 4 weeks of the quarter.
It's you're thinking about doing in the fourth week what you should have done in the first week.
For sure. So
you're thinking about what you're doing in the third month instead of what you should have done in the first month.
But that's okay, because you're thinking about it. And so we want to challenge you to take a step back. And so rather than think about all the things you need to do over the next 4 weeks to either get caught up or even maybe exceed quota if that's where you're at, which would be awesome, then I want you to think about what you need to do just this week. Just this week. And maybe even dial it back. What do you need to achieve today to help you to get one step closer to quota? What do you need to do to achieve today? Put that in the comments. What's one achievement that you're working on for right now, today?
I think that the failing of most salespeople is that they don't look at the elements that go into making the quota. They're just looking at the dollars.
Mm.
If you're a farmer and you don't plant any seed, you can't expect to harvest anything. And so it's a matter for you as a salesperson to make sure that your pipeline seeds are planted. If you need $100,000 worth of revenue in a given quarter, and you know you're only going to close one out of four, then you better have 400,000 people in your pipeline, $400,000 in your pipeline, or it's never going to pop out.
So what's one small task you can do today that's going to move you closer to achievement? And so, you know, there's this idea that we create these huge goals, like what we want to do for the whole year, this five-year plan, this 10-year plan, these huge, huge, huge goals. But what I want you to do is break it down into micro goals, much smaller goals that you can achieve on a much more rapid pace so that you feel like every day you're hitting crazy, amazing milestones and achievements. So it could be something like this week I want to set, I don't know, 25 appointments. Okay, so then let's break it down to how many you need to set today. And literally go by day, you know when you have like too much stuff going on?
And you don't want to do anything?
Yes, because you're so overwhelmed with all the things you need to do.
So when I was watching Jim Rohn's seminars, he would say, I want everybody to make a list of all the things you want to accomplish in the next 5 years. And so people would make this list, and he'd come back in a couple of minutes and say, all right, now put a check mark next to the ones that you think you can accomplish this year. And everyone would check everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, so what are you going to do for the next 4 years? it was so obvious that when people don't make specific lists of what it is that they want to achieve and when they want to achieve it, which other people focus on is the word goal. I'm talking about what do you want to achieve and when do you want to achieve it? That's a more mm-hmm. understandable definition for it. Then you're on the right path if you do that. You're not on the right path if you don't do that. It's just that simple.
Yeah, for sure.
It sounds extremely simple and it sounds extremely helpful. And I think the difficulty that people find with doing something like that is that it does take a level of faith and trusting in the process and trusting that that small thing will accumulate and become the big thing. And I think that's a lot connected with our sense of belief. You know, our sense of belief that that one thing that I'm doing is going to accumulate into a big thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And you do it first thing in the morning. You start out with some achievement action or you're going to have a real slow start to your day.
So I love how Brandon posted in here 4 follow-up phone calls today and 2 closes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Rachel,
and people
hey.
Are giving us those little things. I like those little things.
Yeah, the little thumbs ups and hearts and all that. Okay, cool. I like that too. Leah is going to create and work on her LinkedIn page. So Leah, I would challenge you, what would you consider a success at the end of the day? So like create and work on is a little, it's not specific.
You might want to try Googling what makes the greatest LinkedIn page of all time, and you'll get 20 answers.
For sure. But what would constitute to you a success? And think about making that achievement action a little bit more specific so that you know at the end of the day, okay, it's not just that I worked on it, but I did these three things, which to me equals success.
And try not to just do the mechanical ones like where have you worked and where you went to school, but work on your summary to make sure that when you read it, someone else would read it and go, wow, this is a good person. Now I'm going to give you a clue, and this is a major, major clue. Don't just write it. Read it out loud so you can hear what it sounds like to yourself.
Yes.
And when you read it, you'll have all the corrections you need.
Yeah, like formulating LinkedIn is all about just showing how you can help people rather than selling. All right, Jay is going to get 5 appointments scheduled today. Make as many warm calls as needed to referral partners to get the meeting. See, I freaking love that.
Yeah.
I love that. These are great, guys. Keep them coming.
Where do the warm things come from?
The warm things?
Yeah, it says I want to call 5 warm leads or something. You just say warm.
Oh, warm leads. So that's like not a cold lead, but not a hot lead. It's a warm lead.
Thanks for that definition, Jen. Can you give me an idea of temperature? Is it 81?
Yeah, how do people measure those leads? Is it a thermometer up the yard or what?
Hold on. Doug getting laughter.
Oh,
I love
man.
This.
Oh, man. Jay says research.
Yeah. Let's go with 98.6. That would be a warm lead. That's the body temperature lead.
Oh, man. Chad says, don't fire up a distraction until you've accomplished the small goal of the day. And Anthony teaches this
very well done.
Pasta plan format. Speaking of food, I'm hungry.
Wait a minute. The pasta plan format. What is that?
I don't know.
You eat?
I don't know, but I'm freaking hungry. Are you hungry?
Nah.
No, that's a great point. Yeah, denying yourself some of those distractions until you hit those small goals. I'm not going to look on Instagram until I make these 5 calls.
Yeah, so I
that's a huge denial. I don't know whether people can take that denial or not.
I mean, for some people, the struggle is real.
Yeah, that's true.
I like to work in Pomodoro sets. I talked about this concept a while back, but, you know, like the pasta timer is 25 minutes. And so you work in a Pomodoro set. You can Google it, Pomodoro
Italian
time
for tomato
technique or whatever, yeah. Exactly.
Is that what it is, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Doug is studying Italian,
I never
so
knew
he
that.
Would know.
Very
really?
Well done.
Pomodoro sauce?
I thought it was the way they cooked it or something.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, you can Google it, but I like to do that because then I know I have an exact focused amount of time, and then I have a 5-minute break, and then I have an exact focused amount of time, and I write down exactly what I want to achieve during those times.
If it's Pomodoro is tomato, then what is sauce tomate?
That's just French.
Oh.
Yeah,
Pomodoro
Italian.
Is Italian.
Oh, there's French. They have a word for everything.
All right. So anyway, I was trying to give you the clue about being hungry because you wanted to talk about hunger today.
Oh, yeah. That. Okay. So this is my philosophy and my theory. Everybody wants their salespeople to be hungry, that they go out and get more sales because they're hungry. Like, how do you determine sales hunger? Because you know around noontime, Jen, which is that it is right now about noontime, you're hungry. You
always
want lunch.
And always.
You're going to go get lunch no matter if your ass falls off.
How do you know that? How do you know you're hungry?
You have a pang.
Mm-hmm.
You have a hunger pang.
A physical response.
Exactly. So with sales hunger, there has to be a mental response first, then a physical response.
But I want to talk about something. Okay, and
you're
this
gonna change my topic?
No. This is about hunger. This may be unique to me. I don't know. But when I'm hungry, I have a one-stop, one-track mind towards food. Like, you could be talking
no,
about—
No, Jen. When you want anything, you have a one-track
well,
mind.
So, like that Chanel
let's
bag?
Go to the mall. Let's go. Is it near the mall?
Jen is like the people in the cartoon that the person's talking and all of a sudden they transform into a pork chop.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Literally. So when I am thinking about food, it's like you can talk to me about the best something or other on the planet and I'm thinking about how it's going to relate to my next meal.
Right.
Okay. And so...
Is there a chocolate chip cookie in there? Hold on. I'm on laughing jag. I apologize. But
oh, man.
I know my partner very well. And she may be a one tracker on food, but I'm telling you, she's a one tracker.
But
you don't have to put anything after that.
But that's the kind kind of mentality you need around sales, okay? So you need to be that hungry for the sale that literally nothing is going to distract you. Nothing is going to deter you. It doesn't matter who's popping up on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. You are going after that sale no matter what.
I'm just telling you this. Hunger in sales is something that you give yourself, and you have to feed yourself with that hunger in terms of actionable things that will turn into the sale that you're hungry for or hankering for or needing. You may need that sale to be able to get to the next level or hit a number or finish your week out strong or whatever, but the hunger is something that somebody tells you. Yeah, I need a hungry salesperson. I'm looking for hungry people. Like, hungry for what, dude? Peanut butter crackers or jelly beans? It's getting outside. It's a jelly bean season.
But it's a mentality.
I'm just challenging you that hunger for sales is something that you give yourself.
Yes. Yes.
And if you don't have it, then get out of sales.
And it's like that internal feeling. It's that physical reaction you have to everything else going on when you're hungry for the sale.
It's that nagging feeling. I meant no.
I don't think I'm a nagger. I think I'm a good follow-upper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That word.
I'm talking nag, but it is what it is.
Okay. Anthony says you need to develop your own appetite for sales.
That's oh, a good one. Very well
like
done,
that.
Anthony.
That's really good. That's
yeah.
And Ken wants to point out to everybody, especially those of you not listening, I mean, listening but not watching, that my nails are on point once again. And you know what? I really appreciate
I'll
that, Ken. My nails are very important to
about
me.
Vain.
Okay,
we're
so Doug and Nada are talking right now, and I really wish.
I wish we could hear them.
Yeah, exactly. You got to wait for the post show. We don't air those.
Oh, man.
We don't air those thoughts.
It's nice to know. I mean, I love what I do. I love this whole podcast thing. I love the whole live thing. But let me tell you what. Doug will give us enhancement ideas.
Oh, yeah.
That will make us a better person and at the same time piss us off that we didn't do it ourselves.
No, so let's talk. That's true. No, he's great. He's great at giving feedback. So let's talk about how you get that appetite for sales. I want to just go a little bit deeper before we wrap up. And how do you know you have the appetite? Some of you on here, if you would like to respond to that, that would be awesome. Like, how do you know internally that you have the appetite? And where does that come from for you?
Every time you have a pang of hunger, think about it as a salesperson of what can I do to go with sales? How can I make this sales hunger, not just food hunger? And then you kind of get your own message. You have to learn it. This is a learned skill. Hungry for sales is a learned skill. It's not natural. It's not ill. You actually get into a panic mode, like, oh, I got to do this.
No, I think it's natural. I think you're born with it. I think I was born with a sales hunger. Like, I love making a sale.
I understand that, but the question is when. And for the average salesperson, he or she may not know exactly when it's time to take that massive action. And when you get down to the last day of the quarter or the last week of the quarter, you start to panic.
Mm.
It's forced hunger at that point.
Oh.
It's like if I live in Chicago. Let's see. I got to fly either United or American. It's not loyalty. It's forced loyalty. Same in Charlotte. It's forced loyalty to fly American. I don't want you to force it. I want it to be a natural thing.
So if your hunger is only coming at the end of the month or the end of the quarter, then maybe you're not naturally sales hungry.
Right. It's sales panic. It's not hunger.
So let's talk about what you can do to be hungry at the beginning of the month and the beginning of the quarter.
It's loving your product, loving your job, and loving helping other people. If you genuinely love all those things, then you will have a hunger. That's why you're hungry.
Yes.
You love what you do, and you love helping people. I love helping people. And that's part of the sales process. That creates the hunger. The belief system that you have in your soul creates hunger. And then the question is when? You know, what's the urgency about it?
I had to fill out this survey this past week for this health coach who I hired. And one of the questions was, what would you be doing if you were doing what you love? And my answer was exactly what I'm already doing.
Cool.
Isn't that cool when you can say that? Like that, and I didn't even have to think about it. To me, it was so freaking awesome.
You want to say something? Like you're leaning into the mic.
No, I think that's a great point that that Jen makes, and I think in order to stay hungry, I mean, I feel like you have to really deny yourself satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get into situations where you make a sale and celebrate for sure. I mean, celebration is important whenever you hit certain milestones, but not being satisfied. I think that you can take it to that level where you say, "All right, I'm done."
Now,
don't let it get there.
It's lunchtime and you're hungry. Then you have to answer your own question of what am I hungry for?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's 1,000 choices out there. You can go to Jimmy John's and get a number 5, which is don't want to give anything away, but I do. I get it done my way, triple lettuce and no scooped out bread, but no mayonnaise. I hate the mayonnaise. I don't even like people like mayonnaise, but it's still
no
what
sprouts.
Are you hungry for? Do you want a sandwich? Do you want something veggie? Do you want something healthy? Do you want something unhealthy? Same in sales.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hungry for? So when you think about these things, now hopefully I've triggered some thought process in your mind that when you think about I'm hungry for lunch, think also about I'm hungry for sales. What am I hungry for? What do I need to do in order to either complete a sale, get a lead, make an appointment, whatever the circumstance is, there has to be a hunger or it is not going to happen with the same passion. It's going to happen with the kind of well, it's my routine and I'm not really that jacked about it and my boss is making me make cold calls and I really don't want to do it. I'm not hungry for this. Because if you were hungry for it, you'd do it a hell of a lot stronger.
Right. Okay, so Eldo asks, what do you do when personal problems distract and demotivate the hunger?
Great question.
It is a real good question.
Yes.
Thank you for not telling us what it is.
For real. Thank you for asking that,
yeah.
Eldo.
But for me, I have personal things all the time. My kid has a hurt leg. We're going to Dr. Phil today and Gabrielle asked, "You mean the guy on TV?" I said, "No, the other
Dr. Phil."
but the bottom line is it's a distraction. And everything that you have in your life is a distraction and you have to compartmentalize it and just block out distractions at some point in time. Let me give you the words of the great Doug Branson.
Yes.
Go back and look at page 1 of our instructions this morning. Eliminate all distractions.
Yes.
Because it will take our focus off of what we're trying to do, which is convey information to our customers.
And for a lot of people, eliminating some of these personal problems is not an option. They just exist.
They
but
persist.
Is there a way to put them on pause for a moment?
Yeah. Why don't you try writing down and journaling to yourself why you're doing this sales thing to begin with? What is your motivating factor behind it? What's your internal why? And then keep anytime one of those problems come up and taunt to distract you, why don't you think about that why and remember why you're doing this? I think that will help you.
Here's what to do. Write your problem down. Write your distractions down because they're going to recur. I don't know which the right word is there.
I think they're both work.
Okay. But write them down and then write down what their present status is and what your thoughts are of what you can do with it. And then you can set it aside. As long as you haven't written it down, it's going to keep bugging you until it interrupts your thought process for everything else. But if you do write it down and you do write what the circumstances are about it and what you intend to do about it, now it's kind of resolved. And if you get another idea, add to the file.
And there really is something to be said about writing it down. Like you can think about it, but you're going to be stuck in this head spiral of thoughts if you don't get it out of there. So literally remove it from your head, remove those thoughts, write them down, and then ask yourself while you're writing them down, can I affect the outcome of this distraction or problem or issue? Is there something I can do? Or does this just exist? And if you can't impact it, then stop worrying about it.
Yeah.
And I'll also say that, I find that having purpose and hunger and achieving things in my professional lifestyle can help me sometimes to solve personal problems. It feeds my confidence. And when I feel confident, I feel better about myself. And when I feel better about myself, I tend to have a clearer head about how to solve some of those problems. So it can honestly help you know, sort of reverse, help to fix some of those things.
For sure. And Doug just mentioned confidence, which if you haven't heard last week's Monday Motivation, we talked all about self-confidence. So we'll make sure to put a link in the show notes to that episode. It's gotten some really, really great feedback. But I just want to say hey to Ron, because Ron Goodwin just joined us.
Oh, cool. Hey, Ron.
I think he's like snowed in. I saw that his shop is closed today. I don't know if he's just taking a holiday to watch us.
Dude, he's
or
taking a holiday
if he's like snowed in.
Clean up his driveway. Let me throw one other thing out there about sales leadership for one moment. If you ask a sales leader, what does he want in a salesperson? He's going to say, I want somebody hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you ask him to evaluate one of his people, he says, well, they're not hungry enough. And in the middle, they do jack shit about how to inspire that person to be hungrier. I don't understand it. It is the most spoken about, least actioned item. And I'm gonna use it in Outbound. Jen and I are going to be at Outbound in Atlanta at the end of April.
Yeah.
At the end of April. And I'm giving a keynote talk. And one of the things I'm going to challenge people on is hunger.
Mm-hmm.
How hungry are you? Because it is in direct proportion to how much you love what you do.
100%.
Yep.
So all right. So
don't be
with
telling
that,
me to do shit I don't like to do.
Listen, if you're hungry, you're going to do the shit you don't love to do if you know it serves that outcome. Or you're going to find someone to do it if you know it serves your outcome.
Exactly.
Because you're going to have that one-track mind path to getting it done.
I want to thank everybody for their comments. And, Jen, what do we got coming up this week?
All right, on Tuesday, oh, my God, tomorrow.
Oh, man.
We have literally what is going to be my favorite episode
tell
so far
all your
of the
friends,
year.
Seriously, tell both your friends.
I am not just hyping this up. Like, this was freaking incredible. We interviewed Jason Dorsey, who's the co-founder of the Center for Generational Kinetics, and he spoke about millennials, Gen Z, Gen whatever. He talked about all the different generations and how hiring them and managing them and leading them and working with them is different for each generation and what you can do about it. Like, literally, he does research to understand how to best work with different generations. It's so freaking cool.
He is the global generational expert.
You don't want to miss this episode.
Yeah.
And then on Wednesday, we have an extra. I was on Audrey Strong podcast last year, and one of the things she spoke about was I don't remember. I don't remember this.
There's the value of a lot of
broadcasts.
We decided to put this episode on Wednesday because it fits right in with Jason Dorsey, because there was a lot of discussion about being a younger manager, which you have a lot of experience in, Jen.
It was worded weird. Okay.
Yeah, and
it was my experience about being a younger manager.
Right, and having to adjust to an older workforce, because there are a lot of young managers that listen to this show that have to deal with people who are older than them.
Hold on. Jen just blamed the wording. What do you blame?
That's a fine. We're going to start finding her.
Sorry, my bad. Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool.
I'll get reamed after this.
Let
show.
Me go on Thursday.
All right. What are
on
we doing Thursday?
On Thursday, we have Jared Rubio. Jared Rubio was my personal Mac genius at the Mac store for a couple of years, maybe even 3 years. And then he quit to become – he went into sales. Then he quit to become a former genius. And he has his own business now. Still got another job. But this, he will intrigue you about what he does and how he does
his
it.
His side hustle makes like, what, 250K?
Yeah,
his
exactly.
side hustle makes more than most people's real businesses.
Yeah.
Like, he's freaking phenomenal.
And he's cool and he's funny. He's got a bunch of tattoos. He's from Jersey.
Yeah.
My kind of guy.
Yeah.
Drops a few F-bombs. Please don't be annoyed.
Earmuffs for kids, please.
So, and then Friday we have, of course, the great Nada edit of the best of the week.
Oh, yeah.
And we get more views on that. It's unbelievable. It's a 15-minute kick in the butt for your weekend that you will not want to miss. So please listen twice.
Guys, this month we are going for 150,000 downloads on Sell or Die.
Please.
All right? We need your help. I want you to think right now, who are two people in your world? Two people that could benefit from listening to this episode. And please send them a direct link on the iTunes podcast so they listen on Libsyn. Send them from iTunes to the show.
And let me give you my mother's advice for that, rest her soul. Three would be nice, but I'll take two.
Oh, man. All right. Until next time, I'm Jen Glacio.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, and I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.